Robin Williams' HBO tour was called Weapons of Self-Destruction.
Men don't need help. They're the patriarch. But are they fine?
Turning chaos into control. It's all about just having a conversation.
Old men and young men.
You're listening to Black Sheep Cycling's Mancast.
G'day and welcome to the Mancast, where each week we have a conversation with a guy that has done some pretty cool shit. And then we go deep into how he got there. We talk about failure, stress and defeat. And then we talk about the stuff that you rarely hear about. My name is Trav White, and I'm here with the podcast virgin, Nick Howe.
How are you, mate? This is your first time.
Good, mate. Happy to be here, podcasting, mancasting for the first time ever.
It's good to have you, mate. Good to have you here. And the reason that we're here today in our very first mancast ever is to support the man ride that's coming up on October 7th. Lucky enough, we've actually got the guy who created it. The man, the myth, the legend, the founder of Black Sheep Cycling, Mr. Johnny Paulson. How are you, Johnny?
Boys, I'm really well. Thank you for having me.
I believe you're also a virgin to the podcast as well.
I'm also a virgin. So many virgins sitting around at the same table.
Wow. So many jokes I could use here. I just don't know where to start. Well, before it gets really dark, let's get into the reason that we're here. So, Johnny, the man ride's probably in its third year this year, 2018, for those that are listening in the future. Can you tell us a little bit about the reason why you started it and I guess what the journey's been like for the last 3 years?
Yeah, definitely. And look, I would love to take all the credit for the man ride, but it's definitely not just down to me. The person sitting on your other side, Nick, has had a huge role to play in this, but it's just like a lot of things. I guess the whole initiative started off for personal reasons. And I'll always be the first person to say that I am not someone that's ever been diagnosed with mental health. I'm not someone that's, I guess, ever had some of the levels and depths of problems that we read about in newspapers and so many people suffer from. But I'm definitely on the spectrum and I'm always honest about that. You know, I come from a number of different lives, if you will, like a professional athlete's perspective. You know, I've sat my master's in physiotherapy and, you know, obviously in my profession as with Black Sheep now, you know, you're requiring some pretty similar personality traits. You are, you know, extremely hardworking, you're obsessive about things almost to a very bad level. And I see a lot of similarities between my life as an athlete and to my life today, you know, with Black Sheep. And I definitely found myself at times getting to a place where life just wasn't fun. And life became either too serious or too dark or just too sad. And that's from my perspective for a guy that has never been diagnosed with something. And I saw a lot of my mates going through problems. You know, unfortunately, I've got some mates that have, you know, committed suicide. And I guess that's the personal reasons, Travon.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about, I guess, year one for the man ride. For those that have been following it for the last 3 years and for those that probably have just picked up this podcast in Apple iTunes number one, tell us a little bit about, I guess, how the man ride started from day one. Obviously, you're just looking for an excuse to go out with the boys and go for a ride, yeah?
Yeah, sure. Like, we never actually get to ride our bikes anymore. That's the irony of it. So we just wanted to come up with an excuse to ride 1,000K in 4 days, which Nick and I will always be the first people to tell people that we'll only ride about 1,000K a year and that's pretty much in 4 days. But yeah, back in the first year, it was obviously a very new initiative, and to the credit of the team that we were supporting that year and still are to this day, Black Sheep Warm, we basically took these eight guys out into the middle of the outback at Longreach. On a whim, they knew very, very little, I guess, about the initiative, and they just jumped in the deep end, and we took a Spanish film crew out there, and you know what, it was a lot of fun. And by the end of those 4 days, we had eight incredible guys behind this initiative, behind trying to create a conversation about men's mental illness. It's kind of rolled from there. And last year, we got to the level of doing it 9 locations around the world. You know, we probably had 1,000 people participate in these rides. We did a documentary from Wales to London, and it was just pretty surreal to see what the initiative became in just a year.
So going back to that first year, Johnny, obviously I was there on that journey with you. Any days that stick out more than others?
Yeah. Maybe one in particular, which Nick is probably alluding to with a grin on his face. The third day was pretty shit house. It was our longest day. And look, I may have had a part to play in the route design, but I definitely didn't know about the 80-kilometre dirt section that, let's just say, that wasn't my finest hour. We'd stopped just short of this dirt section at a place called Beliando Crossing. For those that don't know where Beliando crossing is, it's pretty much in the middle of nowhere. We're telling the roadhouse person, lady, where we were going and basically pointed in a vague direction. She's like, there is no road in between here and there. I'm like, yeah, it is. Here's the map. Basically, it was this most average section of dirt you've ever experienced. Corrugated cars should not be on there. As it turned out, Joey, who was driving our support vehicle, ended up getting about 7 or 8 flats from memory. Yeah, for me, I ended up swearing at good old Nick over there.
And your now wife. She wasn't at the time, but she still became your wife.
Yeah, look, we definitely went through some character building moments on that trip. So,
seem to also remember leaving a photographer in a bar in the middle of nowhere for 5 hours while we continued the ride and then went back for them later that day.
The photographer may have been underage.
Luckily, he doesn't drink, but he's gluten-free, so he couldn't eat for 5 hours either.
And then, Johnny, from the first year, obviously, you saw like a bit of a movement going forward. So how did things change, I guess, into the second year, like of the man ride?
Well, we added a fifth day, that's for sure.
Big.
I think one of the biggest things was that throughout this whole thing, we really just wanted to mobilise a conversation. So the man ride is all about getting people to talk about men's mental illness. We don't want people's donations. We're not one of those charities which, you know, they've got numerous good causes, but we didn't want to be another one of those groups asking for a donation. Our call to action was creating a conversation. And in itself, it's a lot harder to do that.
And almost having an excuse to go out with the guys and sit in the saddle for 5 days and have that opportunity, I guess, to talk about anything and everything and get it off their chest, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. As men, we definitely need that opportunity. But yeah, so the second year, our primary goal there was to make it as inclusive as we possibly could and to open it up to our amazing customer base and our loyal followers that we've developed over the last 3 or 4 years. So yeah, we ended up choosing 9 locations and got the support of really great dealers in each of those locations, and they took it under their wing. Our customers and the followers took it under our wing, and it was just an incredible success.
And I think one of the biggest things that came from that second year for me was just that within, I don't know, an hour of our initial journey, we met someone on the road. Yeah, it was already time for our first coffee and stopped off at a random coffee shop in the middle of nowhere in the middle of Wales, a kind of chance conversation about what we were doing and what we were trying to achieve. And we met a lady whose son had committed suicide. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Johnny, and your experience there?
Yeah, that moment still gives me shivers, actually. It was, you know, the first day of last year's ride. As you said, Nick, we were in Holyhead, which for those that don't know, it's pretty much right on the absolute limits of the UK. Beautiful place, but very few people. And we were literally, I think it was no more than 15K into the first day. It was a bit of a slow start. We were getting ourselves together. We were freezing our tits off. And we found this beautiful little roadhouse, you know, a Wales roadhouse, much different to Bellando Roadhouse. And we stopped there. We grabbed a coffee. We came across this lady and, you know, she was a waitress in this roadhouse. And then she started asking questions. As it turned out, Sharon had lost her son. I think it was 10 years beforehand. And I've got goosebumps just telling this right now. And she's never seen her son since. She thinks that he jumped off a bridge. It was an incredibly moving experience, not just obviously for me, but for the 8 other people. For it to happen in the first half an hour of last year's man ride, it was just, oh my God, like this is why we're here. Like we knew why we were here, but like this is a person right in front of us that we've touched, that's had a personal experience with. But this story had only come out by us doing exactly what we were trying to do and having a conversation.
You know, likewise, for me, it was a very moving moment, and the 6 other people that were on that ride with Johnny and I think felt the same. And I think something that's become really apparent to me when I've been doing these rides and been involved in the man ride has been how many people have experienced, you know, some of the things that Johnny was talking about at the beginning of the Mancast, which is it's just how prevalent this is in different situations. You kind of, you're there riding amongst yourselves, chatting to your friends, and in some cases you know these people very well. In some cases we didn't know those people so well. But I think what's both touching, frightening, eye-opening is actually how many people, when given the opportunity to talk about this, actually do come forward and say they've either had personal experience or themselves, or they've had a family member or a good friend. And is that something you noticed, Johnny, when you were kind of doing the rides and you're obviously very close to this, but people have reached out to you whilst doing this ride?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, Nick, you'd attest to this, like when we first started the man ride, one of the first decisions that we obviously were faced with was, what do we call this? And it was Black Sheep for the Black Dog, in support of the Black Dog Institute, which does some fantastic work. It was the Black Sheep Ride. It was a whole number of things, but we really wanted something that would really galvanize people, that would really be a strong call to action, and so we landed on the man ride. Now, for a business that has 40% of its customer base being female, there was a huge risk at calling something the man ride, you know. And obviously we've got good intentions, but with the power of social media, with the power of people's attention span, sometimes that meaning can be lost. We called it the man ride, and to this day, we have had no one, not a single person, question why we made that choice. And it's a really good example of how much this cause and this problem and these statistics resonate with people. And I think that's a great example of what you're talking about, Nick.
And we obviously starting a conversation about all of this, but what is it you believe that is the contributing factor to kind of this situation we're in now? I mean, life is busy. We live in a world which demands way more of us through social media and through digital interactions, as well as real life situations. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree with all that. You know, I'm a 31-year-old white male who was brought up in a private school on the Gold Coast. I have what many people see from the outside as a very privileged upbringing, and I will definitely attest to that. You know, I've had wonderful parents. I've got a wonderful wife. But I think I'm a really good example of how society has been completely flipped on its head over the last decade, and the brutality of social media, the brutality of our lifestyles, whether it's work, whether it's peer pressure, whether it's everything and all of the above. I think we live with social media in a world where we're constantly critiqued and where we're constantly critiquing ourselves. And, you know, females see this in their way, males see it in our way. And, you know, the man ride is not a statement from us by any stretch of the imagination to say that females don't have their problems, because they do, and very serious ones at that. But for men, the pressures that we feel are very serious as well. Again, I can only speak from personal experience, but and in my role with Black Sheep, but, you know, whether it's a negative comment on social media, whether it is constantly not working hard enough or not working enough hours because all I see is the superficial portrayal of brands or other people on these platforms, it's a really, really dangerous area to live with if we aren't conscious that these things actually exist. So hopefully by us just having this conversation, by me telling my story, by Jason Roberts telling his story, by hopefully some of the other people that you guys will be interviewing over the coming weeks, by telling a story from people that, you know what, from the outside, we've got it pretty good. We've got it pretty easy. But you know what? Deep down, there's shit that we have to deal with. And, you know, yes, it's the spectrum. Yes, that there are people that have got it far worse than I do. But the more that we can talk about it, and the more that we can talk about this exists, I think we're just going to be so much better for it.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point, because I think a lot of, like, our circles and our groups, I'm 33, I think, and I'm a little bit older than you, but not so far off. But I know that my group of mates are all kind of like working their asses off. We're trying to provide for our partners. We're trying to set ourselves up for the future. And in some instances, we're trying to build companies that reflect who we are as people, but also try to do the right thing by our employees and just try to do good things out there. And I guess for people that are listening and to listen to your story, you know, you talk about growing up on the Gold Coast, going to a private school, and getting all that sort of stuff. But, you know, no matter what upbringing that you've had, I think a lot of people, and especially after meeting you, Johnny, after, you know, 6 months, is that the company that you've created has struck a chord with so many people, not only here in Australia, but South Korea, more so, UK, US. And you're right, people probably look out and in and go, you know, this looks probably not easy, but it looks like it was done with probably far less heartache than you've probably gone through. So I guess this is half a beer and some cold and flu tablets. I guess what I'm trying to get to is essentially you started this company from the ground up in your garage. Like, you literally just come up with a bit of an idea that you could probably do cycling kit better than what you found. I'll let you answer that. I won't answer that for you. But I think more so as a 31-year-old, what people don't see, I kind of really want to dive into that a little bit, you know. What's the problems that you go through that, you know what, you probably feel that need to be brought up because people in that same age group are having just the same issues but just don't feel comfortable talking about it?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a great question, and I think to give you the fully fledged answer might take a few hours, but the list is endless, and Black Sheep is still, in the whole scheme of things, is still such a small business. We've got 8 wonderful staff. I'm extremely blessed to have those staff, and the business itself is just blazing, and I couldn't be happier. But every day I wake up, and I'll wake up with a certain degree of stress. Every night I'll go home, and, you know, my level of presence with my wife, you know, is again on a spectrum and governed by that level of stress. But, you know, the stereotypical things of staff and making sure that they're happy, making sure that they're fulfilled, making sure that they're rewarded, is a huge thing. And in a growing business, that is a never-ending equation. You know, it is something that you're always trying to make your staff happier. You're always trying to make sure that they're motivated more so than they were the day before. And, you know, like it or not, making sure that they're rewarded for what they're doing. You know, we are a 4-year-old business, and we're no longer in that startup phase. And then you go into the other areas. You know, I'm not a person that shuts myself off to feedback, from whether it's on social media, whether it's on email, and every bit hurts. I'm human, you know, and the human race takes the negative feedback before we take the positive feedback the majority of times. And so it's the stereotypical stuff that hurts. And I think, you know, for me, Black Sheep hasn't, and the growth of Black Sheep hasn't been all daisies. There's been a lot of road bumps along the way. You know, we started in our home office, in our garage, grew out of a garage. There was 2 business partners at the start, and, you know, we went within, you know, the first 18 months, I went through a bit of a business partner breakup, which, speaking about that in itself, you know, a lot more people go through that than what you realize. And the irony of it was that Black Sheep was so successful. You know, we grew literally from the start off a $3,000 investment, and within a year and a half, we were paying our own wages, we were hiring staff, and everything was great, but that relationship just completely dissolved.
How did that go for you mentally, I guess, creating something together and then having something sort of ripped apart, where all the rainbows and daisies that you had when you wanted to start a business and be a millionaire and, you know, and all that sort of stuff? Like, can you talk to me, I guess, mentally, kind of, I guess, how that went for you and maybe some of the stuff you went through to try and pull yourself through it?
I think, you know, you go through kind of the stages of grief, right? Like, at the start, it's like, how could that person be saying those things about me? And then, you know, you go through the acceptance phase and just trying to get yourself through it. And then ultimately you land in a space where you're kind of going, you either sink or swim, and what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And again, all those stereotypes. But ultimately you do come out at this space. It's like, okay, what did I learn from that? What did I fuck up? And it all comes down to, you know, in that case, you know, relationships and how you deal with another person. And there's things that I did then that I'm, you know, I'm sure I would have done differently, and I'm sure that that's on the same side. And, you know, ultimately it's not something that I probably actively think about on a day-to-day basis, but it's definitely changed me as a person as a whole completely. It's changed me for the good. I'm a lot more considered in things. I'm a lot more open in conversations. I'm less self-centered, I guess, where, you know, I put myself into this box, you know, and, you know, I'm sure people would still tell me on that, because I'm a creative person that becomes obsessed about things, but I'm actively trying to become better at it. So I think overwhelmingly you learn a lot, but there are scars from it, and there's scars to stop you being hurt again. Just like any relationship breakup, it's the same. Like you don't want to be hurt to that level, because that fucking sucks.
And talk to me about the value of friendship in that situation. I was very new to the business at that point, and witnessed the difficulties that we had going through that period. And very often having someone to talk to or relying on a mate just to get you through can be super important in those sorts of situations. Did you find that yourself? I mean, how did you actively deal with that?
For sure. And you know what? The boundaries between business and friendships get very morphed at that stage. So it's just literally, how the hell do I get through this? But in the context of Black Sheep, this was, again, a business that was selling out ranges within hours, and at that stage it was minutes. And it was literally, for me, it was something that I obviously couldn't for reasons speak to people about, but it was also something that, you know, I actually didn't want to speak to people about. There was a lot of shame with it, but there were a select amount of people that I did share it with. And, you know, Nick, obviously you were one that copped a fair brunt of it. You know, my wife, but speaking to people about it made it feel a lot better, and it allowed me to process things a lot better. You know, like anyone, if we keep our thoughts wrapped up in ourselves, and if we dwell over things, you know, regardless of who's at fault or what the subject matter is, if you spend enough time thinking about something, you're just going to make it a shit ton worse. So, I mean, I was probably, and I'm not afraid to say that, I was probably someone that, you know what, didn't value friendships as well as I should have. You know, I was never someone that had 1,000 friends on my list, and wasn't a Trav White that, you know.
You do now. I think you got 27,000 on your Facebook.
Yeah, thanks. 76 on Black Sheep. Just don't know who John Paulson is. But no, in all seriousness, like, I've got one very good mate, Ben, who I've told him this, that without him during that time, it would have been really, really tough. And, you know, I never had, you know, suicidal tendencies or anything like that, but like, it fucking sucked. And my worth, you know, what was my purpose? If someone hated me so much, then what does that say about me as a person? But you know what? Just by talking to someone who absolutely believed the absolute opposite is effectively life-changing, and was life-changing. Black Sheep wouldn't be here without Ben.
You know, that's a good point to raise, because I think that's one of the really important things that we've always tried to convey during this man ride, is that, you know, there's numerous metaphors with cycling and mental illness. You know, obviously there's tough periods that you go through when you're cycling, but, you know, there's also exercise is a great outlet. So, you know, tell us a little bit about how exercise helped you get over those. And I'm not talking about your triathlon day. Exercise helps you go through
these. And I can't agree more with what Nick's saying. Like, and you'll probably explain it a bit more, but how that can release a lot of that stuff that's in your head.
Yeah, look, and from a person that's come from I've got a sports science degree and a physio degree, I really failed to recognise the benefits, especially early on, of exercise and the level of endorphin release that you get from it. You know, the whole business breakup definitely coincided with the run-up to the first man ride. It was 6 months in between. Training and training to a plan gave me a lot of purpose. I stopped waking up every morning, and with the first thought that was on my mind was business-related, was either the problems that we would have with it, that we're having, you know, with what we're talking about, the stresses of just day-to-day business life, that's just a vicious cycle. And if you just, the first thing you do is go into your office and the last thing you do is you lock the door from the office, then that's it. From my perspective, that's a pretty shitty place to be in. So for me, exercise is hugely important. And it's something that I'm always grappling with, especially with this obsessive personality. You know, going back into my athlete days, I was always the guy that could train the house down, that would just back up day in, day out, but would race like shit. You know, I trained with some of the world's best athletes and, you know, I held my own and I would just get to race day and crumble. And a lot of the time that was just because I'd just driven myself to the brink of exhaustion in the lead up to it. And that similar trait exists in my business life. So at the moment, the way I manage it is through exercise. And at the moment, I'm doing a shitload of running. I love running and it's, I'm relatively good at it, not to float my boat, but that also in itself releases an endorphin response that I'm doing something that I'm good at. You know, I love to do more riding, but from an ego perspective, I can't do 30 hours a week of riding because I can't do that with a wife and a business and a cavoodle.
and a baby on the way.
And a baby on the way. So
your hairy child.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, it's running and riding, you know, a few times a week, but running, you know, 10 hours a week, and for me, running at a high level is what gets me off. And in terms of psychologically right now, I'm in the healthiest space I've been in since I started Black Sheep, just because I'm actively taking control of that.
And how have you, I mean, we've talked about friendships, we've spoken about exercise. How have you taken control of that, those, you know, those darker tendencies that you...
I think they call it the black dog.
Yeah. Yeah, still jumps.
Yeah.
Look, I'm still learning about how I control it. So you talk about exercise, so making sure that the first thing that I think about when I wake up, well, most of the time it's still going to be Black Sheep, but I've got a purpose other than just to go straight to work. It's straight out the door to go for a run and or go for a walk with a wife and there won't be anything, any other day that will replace that. Like I won't not do something in the morning. But then of course, you've got kind of your habits as a personality. And that's something which I'm constantly learning and constantly trying to become better at. And it's probably more recently that I'm recognizing myself that I've got to seek guidance in that. Like, you know, no matter how many books I read, how many podcasts that I listen to, you know, I'm actively trying to get coached through it. Simple things like for a person with anxious characteristics like myself, things like organizing my day. I am a creative person. I operate by the seat of my pants and ask all my staff about this apart from Nick, who's pretty much the exact type of personality that I am. I live in a sense of chaos, right? And that chaos it gets me excited. That chaos, I feel like, has produced some amazing things with Nick and the team, but it's created a lot of undue stress within myself and undue stress within staff. So I need to control that. I need to control within myself, and then I need to control it and how it reverberates through the business. So for me, simple things like organizing my day, organizing my week, making sure that I've got, dare I say it, a simple to-do list where I feel like I've got a direction for that day and that I know at the end of that day that I've at least achieved something. And that's helped no end, huge amounts. And what I'm working on now is taking that to another level. It's like, okay, so now that I've got my day organized, how do I feel like I am getting output, that I'm not spinning my wheels, and that I'm helping my team feel like they're getting output, like they've got a sense of direction both short-term and long-term. And this is for a person that lives in a sense of chaos, and I guess it kind of shows with how Black Sheep has grown, is that we've grown very quickly, very aggressively. We do things very fast. We do things very well. And I dare I say it, with the people in the business, no other business would have been able to do this within the cycling spaces if it didn't have personalities like us. But to a sense, we have to rein that in. We have to rein it in for the long-term health of staff, of myself, of Nick, of my wife. And it doesn't mean that we'll necessarily do things slower or less aggressively, but just in a way that everyone can feel like we're actually achieving things. Everyone can feel like we're working towards something bigger.
I guess kind of my take out for that is, like, if there's kind of dudes out there that are finding it a bit tough, they're either working in the corporate space or like literally working in their own businesses, a couple of, just get a bit organized, plan your day ahead and maybe just do a bit more exercise and clear that head.
Yeah, and also realize that you just don't have all the answers in yourself, regardless of who you are. You can be the smartest person or you can be the best athlete, but still in some way you are, dare I say it, flawed, right? And we all have so much to learn. But more so than any of that is that we also have so much to learn of how we treat others. And so whether you're an athlete, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a teacher, whoever you are, so much of our life is how we treat others. And that's where myself personally, I've got so much to learn. And I regard myself as a nice person, but my challenge and one of my biggest things as soon as I walk through that door is not myself, it's how do I make others feel like they've achieved. And I don't think any of us are any different in regardless of what position we are. How do we make another person achieve more than what they did yesterday?
Yeah, one thing, I mean, Nick, you probably do it with yourself as well. And from what I'm hearing from you, Johnny, is that we put so much stress on ourselves to be perfect, almost to reach the final destination as quick as possible. I brought up on my laptop here something that I've been watching whenever times get a little bit tough for me. Running a business myself, I do 12 to 13 hours a day. You're right, Nick, you wake up, you think about it, you go to bed, you think about it, and sometimes as collateral damage, the ones that you love are in the way and take the flak from it. And you know, it, credit to those guys that stick with you and help you through those times. But I mean, just my own little personal thing I do, Bill Hicks did a stand-up comedy, I think it was in 1983. I'll have to bring that up anyway. And he sort of, he brought up 1992 actually, and he basically, in London, he did a stand-up and he basically sat there and he went on a bit of a tangent about...
As you are now.
Yeah, as I am right now. Just trying to look it up on YouTube as I'm talking.
I'm fully into this.
And it's called It's Just a Ride, and he talks about how life goes up, life goes down, life goes left, right.
Yeah.
But all at the end of the day, we're all going to end up in the same place, and it's all of the journey and making sure that we have a good time in that journey and we're directly responsible for affecting how we feel.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need to stop and realize it's just a ride.
And I think that's an amazing segue into like what we're actually here for.
The man ride.
The man ride. I think, you know, when, you know, we do a lot of releases a year, right? And we have been successful at it. We want to become bigger. We want to be a better cycling brand. But no matter how many releases you do a year, no matter how successful those releases are a year, nothing pales in comparison to that feeling that Nick and I have got at the end of the first two man rides. You are doing something for a greater purpose. You are doing something that is going to be around and having far longer term benefits and results on people than we or cycling ever will. Because what we are effectively doing, and it's not just me, you know, drumming up the man ride, is that we've had people come to us and just go, you guys are doing such an amazing thing. Like, you guys are changing the way that I think about cycling, that are changing the way that I'm thinking about myself, that the reason why I'm getting up in the morning and riding my bike as opposed to just going straight to the office is because of this man ride. And that is far greater than any release that we could ever do. For me, the greater purpose in the man ride is what drives me in what we're doing with Black Sheep.
I think, you know, just to further Johnny's point there, it's for, we may promote the man ride for a month prior and a month afterwards, and it may last 5 days. But I think it's also about instilling that culture, both in the business of Black Sheep, but also into the patrons and the customers of the brand and the followers of the brand. It's about ensuring that that message gets carried annually. You know, people live their lives by these ideals that we're trying to instill in them. So, you know, do talk to your friends, do go and exercise, do reach out to people, because there are still good humans out there and there are still people that want to actually help if you are struggling.
And I think you're right. I personally got into cycling about 3 years ago. I'm no way a triathlete or a competitive person in any leg, but a good friend of mine, James Ralph, got me into cycling, and I don't think I've ever met just in the sport alone, such a good group of dudes that just literally have your back. You can literally have a conversation about anything, and even 9 times out of 10, run into somebody and have a deep and meaningful about them, and not in a weird deep and meaningful way, but you know, there's so many people in the saddle out there that are just legends. And you get your, obviously with any industry and any sport, you get you get some dickheads and stuff like that. But I've never met like a group of people, if you want to call it a sport, that are just really good humans. And I think ever since I realized that I could hang out with a whole bunch more of good humans, I've just been cycling like every single week because of it. It's awesome.
No, for sure. And look, we as a cycling apparel business, we obviously sell a consumer product. So we are at risk, as is the entire industry, of being another superficial business where all we're after is just that quick hit, that quick fix, and instilling this culture that, you know, to be perfectly honest, does exist in cycling, where it's driven by, you know, how you look, how you are on the bike, who you ride with. That's a very dangerous culture that doesn't just exist in cycling, it exists in a lot of other hobbies. But what there is in cycling, though, is this amazing community of people outside of that.
So I guess that's a pretty good segue, I guess, to maybe talk a little about what's different this year.
So we're doing Global Man Ride Day on October 7th. Hopefully I've got that date right. Sunday, October 7th. We're doing it in...
Correct.
We're doing it in 15 locations around the world. So first year we did it in 1, second year we did it in 9, and this year we're doing it in 15. Pretty much every continent, from South America to the US, to Europe, to Asia, to Australia, to New Zealand. It's pretty incredible where this is now going. So that's on Sunday, October 7th. And then in addition to that, and forming part of the documentary or forming the documentary is Man Ride Soloists. So what is Man Ride Soloists? We're basically dumping 5 people on 5 different continents, and we're getting them to ride 1,000K over 5 days. So 200K over 5 days over some pretty grueling terrain. And we're getting them to document their story themselves. In some cases, they'll have a support person helping them document the story. In some cases, they'll be doing it solo. And the whole idea of that is, again, getting people to tell their own story. We haven't actively gone out to seek people with a history of mental illness. We're probably just letting the statistics do our work there. But we're also looking to really challenge these people. We're at least getting them to overcome challenges which will really try and get them to dig within themselves, get them to actually divulge why they ride a bike, why they are prepared to put themselves through this, and get them to really, at the same time, and it's only natural, consider what does the man ride mean for them. And then at the end of each day and the start of each day, we're getting people to check in. So check-ins for us are all about letting people know, and more importantly, letting yourself know how you're actually going. Physically, mentally, it will go through the highest of highs as you've just gone through 200K over, you know, 3,000 meters of elevation, through headwinds, through rain, and accomplishing that day. And then it will go, you know what, go down to the lowest of lows, to really challenging people on those second and third and fourth days as to why the fuck they're actually doing this. They're the only person out there. They don't have the end in sight. And we really want to hear it from them. Because for us, that is what mental illness is all about, is recognizing that, you know what, this fucking sucks. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. There are people around me. There are things that I can look forward to after this. And it's, you know, it's a metaphor. It can be a really direct metaphor for them. It could really, really challenge some of their insecurities and some of their psychology at that point, or it could just be a complete physiological metaphor. Either way, we are having 5 people all around the world really go to deep, dark depths for this initiative, and I think it's going to be a really compelling story.
So I guess for guys that are out there, you've hand-selected, I guess, some of the guys to do the main man ride, but something that you're offering a little bit differently is Global Man Ride Day and some Zwift rides. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so again, back to the whole notion of how do we make this as an inclusive initiative as we possibly can, you know, and it goes again to mental health, is that there is a certain segment of people that that simply just don't want to talk about it yet, that will sympathize with this cause either from a personal perspective or that they've got a friend, a loved one that suffers from mental health. We are partnering with Zwift this year to give people the opportunity to train up for the Man Ride and to also participate in Global Man Ride Day. So 4 weeks out from Global Man Ride Day, we'll be starting our first Man Ride session, which will be on a Friday at 7 a.m. all around the world. And we'll have some of our local ambassadors that will be hosting those Man Ride sessions. But pretty much wherever you are, and we know we have some far-flung people all around the world, but wherever you are, you can get involved in the lead-up to it, and then you can get involved on the day, and that's pretty exciting.
I think one of our biggest objectives always has been to break down the stigma associated with mental illness. Like, it's two words that sometimes strike a very tough chord with certain people. It's you know, people don't necessarily like admitting to having mental issues or to suffering. And I think our biggest goal with it has always been to try and break down that barrier. And I think our partnership with Zwift this year just furthers that opportunity and allows people to do stuff that, you know, perhaps they wouldn't necessarily do usually.
And at the same time as Zwift, I do have to do a very special shout out to Specialized. And to Specialized's credit, they've been a supporter of ours for a couple of years now. And this year they have got fully behind this cause. And to their credit, they've done it to the perspective it's like, hey guys, we actually don't necessarily want any notoriety from this. We just love what you're doing. We are totally behind it from a global perspective. Like, Australia is behind it, UK is behind it, but Specialized Global is behind this thing, and they don't want anything out of it, just to partner with something that they feel like is doing real good. So, you know, a lot of our riders will be on Specialized bikes, not just because Specialized is supporting us, but because they're obviously really great bikes. But I have to give them a very special thanks for getting behind this, because they got behind it last year and they're getting behind it again.
I'm looking forward to our bikes too, Johnny. So Nick will pick our sizes. And,
after that plug.
It's a million-dollar plug, that one.
back to a serious note, I mean, how does it make you feel? Yeah, it started as eight riders from Long Reach to Ellie Beach in the first year. We're now third year in. We're about to do five soloists on five continents, and we're about to do 15 global man ride days. You know, that's something to be positive about. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, for sure. And it's not just me. It's the staff within Black Sheep. It's our contractors. It's our partners. And as I said before, it's things like these which motivate all of us to keep going from year to year. And I'm incredibly proud about where it is now. And I'm always completely transparent. If there can be a day in the future, a moment in the future where Black Sheep has grown as to the point where it's, you know, kind of self-existing, I would love to devote myself to this initiative and for it to become almost a full-time thing for me, because I think it does have that potential, you know, very similar to Movember, very similar to the Black Dog, but unique in our own way. Unique, we're mobilizing this amazing sport that is cycling to create some real tangible good. And if I can do that for more than you know, a month and what is becoming 2 months of a year, then that would be amazing.
Sitting next to you watching you design the second edition of the Chaos Kit sometimes felt like you were doing it all year.
Oh, hilarious.
But tell us a little bit about the second edition of the Chaos
Kit. It's pretty sexy, isn't it? I got there in the end. the second edition of the Chaos Collection, for those that don't know, we did the Chaos Collection last year. And that was our way of really giving someone the opportunity to get behind this cause from a tangible perspective, where not did they just have to walk up to some random person and get in a conversation with them, that when they had this on their back, that it would create almost a call to arms for people. So the Chaos Collection this year is trying to do the same thing. All the money goes directly back into this initiative. You know, we're not in it for any financial gain whatsoever. You know, it's a pure investment from Black Sheep side. And I'm I'm incredibly proud about this year's Chaos Collection. Just giving you guys a very sneak hint about what it's all about. It's a colourful kit. I think it's really quite beautiful, but there are some hidden meanings on there. There's three symbols that I really want you to recognise when you've got it, when you see it. First one is six men standing tall. Six men a day in Australia commit suicide. Next one is 20 out of 100 men in Australia suffer from anxiety. And then one in five of those people suffer from depression. And they're pretty amazing statistics. They're pretty powerful statistics. And you know what? If you don't want to talk about it, I want to let that as a reminder to you about how deep this problem is, not just in Australia, but in America and in Europe and Singapore, across the world. But you know what? If it does strike a chord on you, let that be a reminder that when you're talking to people, spell it out to them. Because you know what? Like, you stand in front of five of your mates and there's going to be one person that's pretty deep and dark.
So head to manride.blacksheepcycling.cc. It'll have all the details for the ride, the big ride, and also the ones how you can get involved with the Zwift rides, and also some more information around the Chaos Kit and anything in between. But I always suggest if you've ever got any questions, you want to chat or give us some feedback either. Always just hit us up on Facebook, on Black Sheep, or Instagram, or you can write in to us here.
Send carrier pigeon?
Okay, I don't know if that works, if you want to clap all the way through. I don't know how it works.
Just don't send me an email because I always
Johnny
forget
Nefra
to reply to those.
Such a great friend.
Cool. So we've got a few more podcasts coming up with a few people, not only here in Australia but around the world. So we've got a few more coming up. We'll be releasing this hopefully weekly. If not, just wait longer. But Johnny, thanks for giving the opportunity for both myself and I'll talk on behalf of Nick as well to sort of sit here and I guess have a good conversation with some guys, crack a few beers, and I guess talk about the stuff people don't normally talk about, because it's good for me to hear that stuff because I resonate with a lot of the stuff that you're saying, and it's good to know that I'm not the only one that's going through the same shit as other people too, and probably feel a little bit more empowered to talk to, I don't know, about you or whatever, or to grab a beer or just talk to anybody about sort of how I'm feeling, if it's good or it's bad, because I'm sure there's people there that have exactly been through the same thing and just want to talk about it just as much as you do.
Yeah, for sure. No, thank you for having me, boys. It's been really good.
Thank you very much, Nick, for playing sidekick here. It's been pretty cool. Actually, I've been playing sidekick with you, so.
Virgin yeah. Mancaster no longer.
All right, thanks, Johnny, and thanks, Nick. Guys, I'll speak to you guys next time.
Robin Williams' HBO tour was called Weapons of Self-Destruction.
Anthony Men don't need help. They're the patriot, but are they fine?
Turning chaos into control. It's all about just having a conversation.
Athletes and professionals.
Old men and young men. You're listening to Black Sheep Cycling's Mancast.